The Palo Alto City Council voted against adding homelessness to its priorities for the year 2000. Good news in San Jose. It looks like the San Jose Homeless Alliance is on the edge of running a shelter there, and they may even be engaging in some kind of protest to make sure that happens, some kind of takeover on Thanksgiving Day. We'll see what goes on then. Here in Santa Cruz, Marco and Donna Dice of the Tenants Union of Santa Cruz, TRUSC, wants to invite people to come to the Resource Center for Nonviolence, 6:30 p.m., 515 Broadway on Mondays. That's tomorrow. If you want to go to their meeting, check out what's cooking with them. They finally got their space at the Resource Center for Nonviolence. And their number, if you want to reach them directly, is 426-0644 if you have tenant problems. If you want to know more about what to do when the landlord comes banging at the door, call the Santa Cruz Tenants Union or the Tenants Union of Santa Cruz, TRUSC. Donna and Marco can give you some help. They are really tireless. Maybe you can give them some help because they need it too. They themselves are fighting an eviction. And as of a couple of days ago, the landlord was holding his distance, but it still had given them a 30-day notice. More on that next time. Hopefully we'll be having some more specifics from them. Now let's turn to a recent court case, and one of our favorite attorneys, Catnip Kate Wells.
I'm with attorney Kate Wells. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
And Kate, you've been covering the case of the county sheriff's vendetta against libertarian activist Richard Quigley, and recently you've been involved in a jury trial. Can you tell us something about that?
Yeah, this was the first in a string of trials, so it was kind of a pivotal case where they had arrested Richard Quigley's girlfriend, Lori Soderman, and in their usual manner, roughed her up pretty bad, said they stopped her for speeding and ended up throwing her into the street and slamming her against the car, and of course charged her with 148 PC, resisting arrest, which is their usual tactic. And then, of course, afterwards, they searched her car and found some pepper spray in her glove compartment, which she didn't even know was there.
Well, she's simply following the Berkeley police advice to get pepper spray.
Right, actually, it belonged to Quigley, but at any rate, since she's a convicted felon.
Convicted of what kind of felonies?
Bad checks,
uh-oh.
Yeah, real terrible thing. Well, I mean, it's not a good thing, but she admits it, that she did her time, and at any rate, she had no idea the pepper spray was tear gas, or is considered in the law to be tear gas, so at any rate, they then charged her as a convicted felon in possession of tear gas. So those were the two charges, and
at least she got a trial. She wasn't on a parole or probation situation where she would have not even a trial.
Right? Exactly. We had a jury trial. We had a terrific jury. All I wanted was I wanted a lot of smart people on there because I knew that the lies would come through. The officers, for instance, Sergeant Hartner claimed that he couldn't keep up with her. That she shot away from him. Of course, Lori's driving a 1980 diesel Mercedes, not a turbo diesel, a diesel four-cylinder Mercedes with a quarter of a million miles on it, and he's riding in his 1996 Crown Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
the jury saw through it all.
How long was the trial, Kate?
How long?
Yeah.
It lasted 4 days.
4 days?
Huh?
And how many witnesses were called?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 witnesses.
How much would you estimate it cost how much did it cost the county or the state or
Oh, man, I don't even want to venture a guess there. But let me tell you the really interesting thing about this. Mm-hmm. Had an interesting jury. Had a priest on the jury. We had a rabbi's wife. And we had a retired Superior Court judge by the name of Spurgeon Avakian, better known as Sparky. I've actually appeared in front of him a couple of times, and he's sat in here. He's an 85-year-old retired jurist who is one of the foremost experts in the state on issues, evidently. According to Judge Kelly, he gets called in all the time on issues.
This was in Judge Kelly's court?
This was in Judge Kelly, yes. And, of course, made Judge Kelly a little nervous to have him. This was the first jury he'd ever been on. It was really cute. He was so excited to be on a jury. At any rate, he was the only... jury didn't come back until late Friday afternoon. And he was the only one who wanted to stick around and talk. And so we talked a bit about the trial, and at the very end his last comments were, well, all I have to say is that was a phenomenal waste of court time. And my remark back to him was, don't tell me, go tell the DA. But I thought that was a really...
So the backdrop for all this is that the Sheriff's Department has chosen to take a special interest in Richard Quigley's friends because Quigley himself has challenged sort of a harassment effort underway in the Aptos shopping center area.
Yeah, the parallels are very strong. What's happening on the downtown on Pacific and what's happening in Aptos. There is no central meeting place in Aptos, so Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center has become kind of the place where people meet and talk and sit around. And they have moved the sheriff's substation, of course, into the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center, and from that time on, there has been constant harassment, arrests for hacky-sacking, playing a guitar. They are unmercifully just torturing the kids there. So Richard Quigley and his friend Jerry Henry have been counseling the kids as to what their rights are. They've passed out the Pruneyard decision. And
the Pruneyard decision, of course, states that in public, even in shopping centers, you have a right to...
First Amendment.
First Amendment rights, normal freedom of association and speech rights. Right?
And the arrests continue. There was another one yesterday where Jerry Henry... a real interesting note here. The owner of the shopping center, not sure, maybe the manager, either the manager or the owner, wrote a letter to the sheriff's department stating that... neither Richard Quigley or Jerry Henry are allowed on the property anymore, and they are to arrest them if they come on the property. Mm-hmm. And we called the Sheriff's Department to find out what they were going to do about this, and the Sheriff's Department said, well, sounds good to us. So Jerry Henry was arrested the other day for merely going on the property, which appears that they have a restraining order without having gotten a restraining order.
So they can't simply say this is our property, even though it's private, because it's open to the public. It is not legal for them to close it off simply by their own order.
Well, that's correct, and not only that, I mean, it would be kind of like me calling Sheriff Tracy and saying, you know, gee, I don't like Robert Norris, and if Robert Norris, you know, comes within 100 yards of me, I want you to arrest him, and Mark saying, oh, sure, okay, fine. I mean, you know, it's an outrage. They served them with these letters saying that they weren't allowed on the property anymore, as if they were restraining orders or something, you know. So, yeah, we have had an arrest on that basis alone, on the fact that he just happened to be there. Yeah, it's a pretty...
So what's the next case coming down the pike around this attack on Quigley and essentially civil rights of the young in Aptos?
I think, let's see, it's a toss-up between Quigley's trial and Mara Whitler's trial. Mara is one of the young... is a young woman who worked at Safeway there who has been a friend of Quigley's. And who was there to protest a smog check two thing they had going down across from Cabrillo, and they have charged her with, guess what, 148 BC.
Ah, again, resisting. Just don't resist. Resistance is futile.
Yeah. So at any rate, It's
Is there a date we should know about for people who want to attend these trials? Or are they?
I don't have it with me right now, so I can't tell you. But there are going to be a series of them, you know, Jerry Henry has some actually some matters coming up, as well as
are Jerry
and Whitler.
Are Jerry and Richard backing off?
Oh no! And they spent 3 hours down there yesterday.
And what about kids? Are kids organizing themselves, or is it pretty much a lone effort by these two older guys?
Well, the kids are there, but they just and we've got we have hours worth of tapes of the harassment that's been happening. I mean,
videotape.
For instance, if a kid sets a skateboard down, Devereaux would run over and grab it and take it.
Well, maybe he'd simply doing a collection for poorer kids.
Yeah, right.
Kate, listen, thank you very much. You're a fountain of information. Unfortunately, I've got to run to the studio.
Okay. All right.
And that was Attorney Kate Wells talking about the victory in court after a jury trial of one of the friends of Richard Quigley, who was targeted because Quigley and several other people have taken it upon themselves to defend the civil rights of young people at the Rancho Del Mar Aptos Shopping Center. And if you're interested in that situation, give me a call at 423-4833, and I'll put you in touch with folks involved in that particular civil rights struggle. I'd like to apologize, by the way, for not airing interviews with several downtown folks. There was a lengthy report on Officer Brandt and his friendly police dog. Apparently, Officer Brandt has taken it upon himself to parade up and down the mall with his police dog. I've seen him do this on a couple of occasions. A German Shepherd who German Shepherds are nice beasts, but when they're trained for police work and they're presented in public places, they have a somewhat formidable and threatening aspect to them. And the account from two individuals I had was that Brandt literally threatened two citizens with attack for commenting on his police dog. And they are prepared, they say, to file complaints to the Citizens Police Review Board on that issue. And they certainly were prepared to give their names and to complain on the air. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to find that tape. I had it this morning, but apparently the dog ate the tape. I'm not sure which dog that was, but anyway, it's not here at the moment. Hopefully, we'll be able to return to that report directly on Thursday when we return at 6 in the evening for the midweek edition of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. The Sunday edition lasts, as you know, from 11 to 1:30, or whenever Becca comes in to kick me out of here, which probably will be pretty darn soon. I'd also like to apologize to David Silva, Green Party activist and outreach coordinator for the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban. David has this lengthy interview, which I was going to play today, but I'm not going to have time to do it. I may be able to get in a few minutes of it, but actually what I'll probably do is save it until Thursday. Of course, I've been saying that for several shows. I may end up just deep sixed, particularly since I think I hear the creaking of the door and I see the arrival of that formidable face with those jack boots on. She is ready to kick butt, I can see. She's stretching, and I'm going to have to get out of here soon and give this woman some room. A couple things, though, before I go. There was a rather positive story in, of all papers, the Santa Cruz Urinal, or actually they call it the Santa Cruz Sentinel. I call it the Urinal. An AP story from the Friday paper. Judge says L.A. can't enforce begging ban. Los Angeles. A federal judge Thursday stopped the city from enforcing an aggressive begging ban, a law the city council passed in July to cut down on what the mayor described as, quote, quality of life crimes. U.S. District Judge Richard Paez granted a preliminary injunction blocking enforcement of the ordinance that became effective August 15th and banned all begging near automated teller machines in parking structures and on buses and trains. A $50 fine would have been leveled for the first time. Violators, repeat offenders, face a $500 fine and 6 months in jail. The American Civil Liberties Union of Southern California challenged the ordinance in September, saying it was unconstitutional and further stigmatizes homeless people by making illegal the behavior on which their survival depends. Opponents also argue the regulation infringes on every person's right to free speech and shuts down solicitation by legitimate organizations such as the Salvation Army or Greenpeace. This law is nothing more than a mean-spirited attempt by the city of Los Angeles to infringe on the free speech rights of the less fortunate, said ACO attorney Peter Eliasberg. There are laws currently on the books to stop people from dangerous, harassing, and abusive behavior. Eliasberg said he hopes Paez will grant a permanent injunction without the case going to trial. The federal judge cannot invalidate the law, but can forbid Los Angeles from enforcing it. Mayor Richard Riordan said the ordinance was legally sound, does not compromise the rights of people down on their luck. A call to the city attorney's office after business hours rang unanswered, but Councilmember Joel Walks, one of the ordinance's sponsors, said he will ask the city attorney to pursue the case to trial. The ACLU always challenges these ordinances, but ours have been patterned after others that have been upheld by the courts, Walks said. Of course, one of the ordinances that it was patterned after was none other than our very own Santa Cruz panhandling ordinance, which is actually worse than the Los Angeles ordinance. Los Angeles ordinance, according to this, and maybe it's not complete, bars begging near automated teller machines and parking structures and on buses and trains. Our ordinance bars begging 10 feet from a store, any time after dark, any time from a seated position, any time of a group of two or more. If you stand near a car or you do it to or from an automobile, there's a whole series of restrictions we have, which council members Kennedy, Rotkin, and Matthews gave us back in 1994 to protect us from the poor panhandlers. Notice that they call this law aggressive panhandling, and it has nothing to do with aggressive. It has to do with where you are standing, if you are sitting, what time of day or night it is. It doesn't have to do with whether you're saying, hey, give me some money, which is aggressive, or pursuing someone, let's say, by walking down the street after them, or threatening them, or using any abusive language, all of which would be aggressive. This has to do with clearing homeless people away from public spaces and making Santa Cruz downtown a less inviting place for poor people. Along the way, it means concealing the realities of poverty from the eyes of tourists and shoppers who merchants believe will be more likely to come and buy if they are not having to worry about poor people being in the area, not having to feel guilty about it, not having to feel threatened by seeing someone with a different lifestyle, or someone poor not having to be reminded where they might be tomorrow. It's kind of, you know, a drag to see these folks, so let's get rid of them. That's what they're doing up in Eureka with the South Spit Jetty. That's what they're doing in San Jose to remove people through the Food Not Bombs meals. And that's what Santa Cruz wants to do with Phase 2, the Downtown Association's planned real change, not spare change, to eliminate poor people from the downtown area. And that's how the police are being used, and you're going to hear more about that on Thursday from folks who apparently got some kind of confrontation with Officer Brandt's dog, who Officer Brandt calls a police officer, by the way. He's not really a dog, because dogs are not allowed on the downtown mall, on the downtown Pacific Garden Mall, not even on leashes. It's illegal. Of course, how often have you seen a middle-class person having their poodle ticketed? I've frequently seen poor people get tickets, but I don't usually see middle-class people get tickets for that kind of thing. But maybe I haven't been everywhere at the same time. Here's a story from Ventura, also from the Santa Cruz Sentinel. Amazing. The day before the last one I just read, Thursday, October 30th, homeless rousted from riverbed camp, Ventura. Haunted by lingering image of floodwaters sweeping homeless people from riverbed shanties, Ventura County moved to head off a potential El Nino storm disaster on Wednesday. It gave the disheveled inhabitants of the Santa Clara and Ventura Rivers the boot. The $225,000 River Dweller Aid and Intercity Network, or RAIN, project to relocate more than 100 riverbed homeless began Tuesday and will continue all week. It's cheaper to relocate them now, officials said, rather than stage costly rescues during winter flooding. One died during 1995 flooding, and 12 others who had encampments in the Ventura River bottom had to be plucked from rising waters by rescue helicopters, drama that was televised nationwide. We always plan in these cases for a worst-case scenario. It's very difficult to rescue people once the river starts rushing past us, County Supervisor John Flynn said. Notices posted along the shrub-covered riverbeds read, "This notice is to inform you that living in the Santa Clara or Ventura River bottom is unlawful and potentially dangerous. You are therefore ordered to leave the river bottom with your belongings by November 3rd, 1997. Coincidentally, the same date that the Humboldt County refugees are being kicked out of their hotels and their North Jetty campground. From their wooden tarp huts, the river bottom homeless began drifting into Calvary Chapel in Oxnard for interviews with social workers seeking to get them back on their feet. Next week, they will be loaded onto a bus and taken to the now-vacant Camarillo State Hospital, where they will be assigned beds in a dormitory. I'll miss the trains, I'll miss the bamboo and the hummingbirds. Every year they build a nest in my camp and have babies. I'm going to miss my friends," riverbed dweller Claudia Martinez said. Well, isn't that sweet? It's a sort of the public spin of a very positive kind for homeless being evicted, supposedly, again, because of a potential danger. What they don't tell you is that they do these kinds of riverbed sweeps, as they did in Menlo Park, Palo Alto, with clock-like regularity. And how long will these people be able to be in the Cabrillo State Hospital? I'm going to have to check into that and get back to you. I suspect that it ain't going to be for long, and that this is one of those sweep-them-out-of-sight numbers using a public health, in this case, public disaster potentiality as a pretext. I'd love to be proved wrong on this, but I fear that I will be proved right. I'm out of here. You've been listening to Bathrobes Pierre's Broadside, Civil Rights for the Poor in Santa Cruz on 96.3 FM. And tune in for me next, it's going to be next Thursday, and for the civil rights issues that I like to raise. If you want to join me, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Leave a message and we'll put it on the line. Or come to the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Bans weekly meetings, 12:30, right after noon, at 706 Frederick Street. 706 Frederick. If you want to get in touch with them, you can call 457-9754, extension 182. And if you miss any of these numbers, easy to remember, the 423-HUFF line, give me a call there, and you can get in touch with me at that point, and I'll give you whatever numbers that you may have missed. I appreciate your joining me. Thanks for being with me. It's through your listening that it makes this program have any point whatsoever, and I'm glad you, if you are listening, that you have listened. Join me again on Thursday.
Now I sympathize with the homeless when I see him on the evening news. Somewhere there must be a place where they can park their weary shoes. Maybe a camp in the country or a building on the edge of town. But that shelter there across the street is only gonna get me down. Everybody should have a home. Everybody must be fed. Everyone has a right to a roof and below it a nice warm bed. We applaud your noble efforts at guarding their collective health. And we'll gladly give you funds and food long as you can put them somewhere else. See, I don't want to have to lock my door to be inside safe and sound. This neighborhood will go to pot with the likes of them around. It's no fun out there in the cold. Yes, I know just how they feel. But I just can't bear to see a hungry face when I'm eating a nice warm meal. Oh, everybody should have a home. Everybody must be fed. Everyone has a right to a roof and below it a nice warm bed. We applaud your noble efforts at guarding their collective health. And we'll gladly give you funds and food long as you can put them somewhere else. I've got a friend who owns a store about a half a block away. Every year she donates goods and money to United Way. But she thinks it's bad for business to have the homeless walking by. She says, why not send them south for the winter so they can stay warm and dry? Oh, everybody should have a home. Everybody must be fed. Everyone has a right to a roof and below it a nice warm bed. We applaud your noble efforts at guarding their collective health. And we'll gladly give you funds and food long as you can put them somewhere else. Well, now please understand our position. It's not the way it looks. We want them housed, but out of sight. There are zoning laws on the books. Long as we can clear our conscience and preserve our civic pride, we'll give our consent, even pay the rent on a place where they can hide. 'Cause everybody should have a home. Everybody must be fed. Everyone has a right to a roof and below it a nice warm bed. We applaud your noble efforts at guarding their collective health. And we'll gladly give you funds and food long as you can put them somewhere else. Yes, we'll gladly give you funds and food long as you can put them somewhere else.
Thank you. Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. That was Robert Norse's show, Bathrobe Spears Broadside. And we're really happy to have him here on Free Radio, being as though he's voted twice as being the most annoying man in Santa Cruz. And that's the kind of energy we need here. Yeah, getting some information out. I'm going to go ahead and play something that I recorded last evening at a little Circle Fire. I hope it comes through okay. Hooray for the yuppies. Thanks, Matt. All right, power.
Making lots of money and many telling so. Sitting for you, holy wine and cheese. Hooray for the yuppies. Pokers and binkers and financial analysts. Sprung out on Prozac from high-priced therapists.